Lord, for your glory, we sing your praises. We magnify your holy name. All for your glory, Lord, we bring blessing. We seek to honor you all of our days. We lift our hands, we lift our praise to you. We worship all you are in spirit and truth. We give our hearts, we lift our lives to you. We offer all we are for the glory of you.
We spoke in our lesson on Sunday that Jesus asks us to be salt and light. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 states to let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Normally, that is going to be intentional. We will see men and turn our light on so that they can see the glory of our Heavenly Father. However, there are going to be times when our light is on simply because we are Christians, and people are going to happen to see and be influenced by that light. Today's lesson takes us to such an example. So please join me as we discuss the topic of unintentional ministry.
We give our hearts, we lift our lives to you. We offer all we are, we offer all we have, we offer all our lives for the glory of you.
Let's begin in Acts chapter 16 today. In verses 22 through 24, we find Paul and Silas being arrested because they had taken an evil spirit out of a young girl. The reason they were thrown into prison for this was that her masters were making money off of her and the evil spirit within her. These masters had Paul and Silas thrown into prison. And that's where we pick up in verse 25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Paul and Silas came to Philippi to perform one kind of ministry, but they ended up performing another kind. They came to Philippi to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to convert lost souls to him. During their teaching, they took time out to help this young girl, but for this good deed that they performed, they received evil in return. So they came to set men free from sin and ended up having their own physical freedoms taken away from them. Now, this result may have caused some people to shut down or to take a break from what their responsibility was. But this is not what Paul and Silas do. Their imprisonment brought a new, unexpected, and unplanned opportunity to teach the gospel, but not in the conventional manner that we may think of. Paul and Silas responded to their confinement by worshiping God and praising him. The very heart of worship is personal. Notice how David decides to worship and praise God when the ark enters Jerusalem for the first time in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 29. It happened that when the ark of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out the window and saw King David leaping and celebrating, and she despised him in her heart. The reason that Michal despised David at this point was that she felt he was not acting like a king, and she was embarrassed by her husband. David's reaction to this was this in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 21. So David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord." David let his wife know that he was not dancing for her or anyone else who saw him that day. He was rejoicing before the Lord. While he was praising God, yes, others saw him and they reacted in different ways. But David's intention was not to be seen or even to cause a scene. But because he was being appreciative to God, others saw it and reacted to it. Now, let's go back to Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas decided to worship God in their cells by singing and praying. Because they were Christians, the other prisoners heard and were listening. They were, in fact, listening to the point that in verse 29, Paul says, "We are all here." When the prison bars were open and the chains fell off, none of the prisoners left their cells. This scenario has often caused me to wonder if these prisoners would have left had they not been under the influence of Paul and Silas. While I may never know the answer to that question here on earth, the evidence suggests to me that these prisoners were definitely listening. Think of what could have happened here. Imagine if Paul and Silas said to God, "We were doing so much good. Why would you allow this to happen to us?" They could have sat silently in frustration in their cells, blaming God instead of praising him. We too have choices with how we respond to life's unfair blows. We can be broken by them, or we can turn even more to God in those situations, like Paul and Silas seem to be doing now. I do not believe Paul and Silas were trying to teach here. They were praying and praising. God was the intended audience, and all the other prisoners were an unintended audience. I am reminded of the widow's mite in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. "And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting in money into the treasury and how many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors into the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on.'" The widow was not trying to impress Jesus and his disciples. She was only doing what she could. In fact, because of the size of her contribution, she may have even been trying to hide the amount that she was putting in. I am certain she was not intending on teaching the disciples of Jesus a lesson that day. But that is exactly what she did. Jesus took this opportunity to teach the disciples and us about matters of the heart. Now, on to the application for us. Some of our finest moments of teaching and leading others to Christ happen without us even knowing. But how do we do that? Well, I believe the point is to always be intentional in serving God. If we are always intentional, then we will always have our influence ready to teach others. So even our unintentional ministries are really intentional. If we try to turn our Christianity on and off, we will miss so many opportunities to show others our light, and really the light of God, so that he can be glorified in the process. So until next time we meet here, I encourage you to be intentional.
Changing me and changing you, we have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient